What a good morning this has been. Good in worship, fun and humbling and exciting to celebrate transitions in people's lives as part of the body of Christ. It's just been a great morning. I want to remind you that tonight we will be back in our Titus Bible study at 6 o'clock tonight. And we've been out of it for a while. Just want to remind you we will resume again tonight, be back in that Bible study and in and out of it through the summer a bit on Sunday nights. But stay with us. Now tonight, and it's it is a down-to-earth Bible study, very pointed and practical. And if you're familiar at all with the book of Titus, you know where we're going with this, because the next thing we're going to learn about when we talk about your part in God's church is age groups, especially our seasoned saints, our seasoned in Christ. God has a word for you through the book of Titus, so be here tonight as we continue with that. But this morning, we pick up where we left off 2 weeks ago as we are in a message series, but also a campaign in the life of our church called Who's Your One? And I am challenging each member and regular attender of First Baptist Church of Shalot to ask God to put one person, at least one person, on your heart, to pray for that person and ask God to open a door for you to have a gospel conversation with that person this summer, or at least this year. But in 2019, have a gospel conversation with that person God puts on your heart. And I feel confident that most of you have already, you already know who God has for you and who you're praying for. 2 weeks ago, I put out some materials to help out with this on the back table, and God bless you, you took all of it. So we have put some more out there, some prayer guides to help you through 30 days of praying for your one, some little cards that you can put in your Bible with scripture verses to help you praying for your one and preparing to have a gospel conversation. And those cards have a perforated top, and you can take the tab off of the top, write the first name of the person on that card and on the card you're going to keep, and put the smaller card in the basket back there at the table. And we will pray for your one here during the week at First Baptist Church. We have prayer groups that come in, or a prayer group comes in on Wednesday morning. They will be praying for each one by name. So I want to encourage you to make sure that you have done that. Pick up those materials on your way out. Even if you don't leave that card in the basket, take a card with you. Pray for your one. Be sure that you've identified who God has put on your heart to pray for and have a gospel conversation with them. Why does this matter? Well, here's why it matters. Because every person is rescued by another person. Each person is individual, and each conversation matters. And we rescue people one by one. We rescue people one by one. Now, as we're talking about gospel conversations, and let me clarify what I mean here in case maybe you're unfamiliar with the Bible, unfamiliar with the term gospel conversations, unfamiliar with First Baptist Church. So I just want to land for just a moment, help you understand what we mean. We believe at First Baptist Church that the single most important thing in every person's life is their relationship with God. And if you're not sure about your personal relationship with God, God is calling you back to Him. He's the great I Am. He is your Creator. He wants to have a relationship with you, and that's why He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you as payment for your sins and to make a way for you to come back. But a person has to make that decision to trust Christ as their Savior and to come back to the Heavenly Father. A gospel conversation is when believers in Christ, those who have already made that decision, engage people in understanding that and engage people in the truth of the Bible and the truth of the gospel. Gospel means good news. It means we want you to know what God has done for you in Christ, and God wants that relationship with you. So we're challenged to have those gospel conversations. And I'm fully aware in a room of this size with this many people, there's probably a lot of us that have never had a gospel conversation with anyone who didn't know Christ. Most of our relationships probably are with other Christians, and maybe we don't ever think about it. So the challenge is to let God put someone on your heart, God open your spiritual eyes to them, and see them the way God does, and initiate in God's timing a gospel conversation Can you imagine the impact it would have on our church, our community, our homes, our schools, if every single one of us sought God's help and His power and His wisdom in having a gospel conversation? Because here's what's going to happen. Eventually, you're going to lead somebody to Jesus doing that. Some of you will plant seeds for the first time. Some of you will share a gospel conversation with a person who's ready to come to Christ. Some people will be all in between there because everybody's on that spiritual journey. But God has put people in your life and people in your heart that He wants you to share the gospel with, to have a gospel conversation. Because every person is reached one at a time. Every person is rescued one at a time. Paige Hunter is a young adult in England. And as a teenager and as a young adult, she went through a very traumatic experience, and as a result of it, had PTSD. And as a result of her PTSD, contemplated suicide several times and even tried to take her own life a couple of times. And on one of those occasions, Paige went out on a long bridge over a river in England, and someone came along and helped her and rescued her. And she got further help from individuals that cared about her. Well, now Paige wants to show she cares about people just like her, the people that are struggling and people contemplating suicide. How could she do that? Well, how could she help? She could do it one person at a time. So here's what Paige Hunter has done. She's gone out on that same bridge, and she has handwritten dozens and dozens, even up to hundreds of notes to people, and she's tagged them and put them on that bridge, all over that long bridge. They're personal notes that say things like, if you're reading this, don't give up. There is still hope. Notes that say things like, people love you, and you're significant, and you're important. Don't give up. And one of the notes she wrote even says, touch your own heartbeat right now. That's the heartbeat of purpose and life. Don't give up. Since she started doing that last year, 8 people have contacted her online and said, you saved my life because you cared enough to leave that note. How are people rescued? One person at a time, by other people who care. Gospel conversations are the core of what it means to be a believer in Christ. They start with prayer. I've said it several times already. Who would God put on your heart to pray for, to have a conversation with? So this morning, we're going to talk about how to pray for your one. Who's your one? It starts with praying for them. Who God puts on your heart and how you will pray for them. There may be more than one, but it starts with prayer. And an effective gospel conversation always begins with prayer. Praying for that person and praying for yourself and praying for that conversation. If you have your Bible with you this morning, pick it up and find with me the New Testament book of Colossians and chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to a church in a city called Colossae, but he wrote it from a Roman imprisonment. He was under house arrest in Rome when he wrote this letter. And that gives his particular words great meaning because he's going to talk about praying for gospel conversations and ask the church in Colossae to pray for him because he wants to have conversations about Jesus with the people around him and who come to him while he is under house arrest. So we're going to pick up reading there the words of the Apostle Paul as he teaches us something, God teaches us through him something about effective prayer for gospel conversations. Look at Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door to us for the word to speak the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains so that I may make it known as I should. Act wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. In this short passage, Paul gives us some directives, and they are directives that he owns. He's internalized these, he practices these, and he requests others to do also practice these directives because this points us toward effective prayer for gospel conversations. We must be praying for those we want to share the gospel with and those, and we want to be praying for ourselves as well. So let's unlock this for just a minute. I want you to see with me these 4 directives that Paul gives for effective prayer for gospel conversations. What should we do? Well, first of all, Paul reminds us to pray for one another. Pray for one another. Devote yourselves to prayer, he says, and pray also for us. Pray for one another and pray also for us. Devote yourselves to prayer means to persist in it. Never stop praying. He solicits their prayers and specifically says, and pray for us. Now, if you know anything about the Apostle Paul, you know that he was the greatest evangelist and missionary in the history of Christianity. He was the one that started virtually every church reaching out throughout the Roman Empire that reached non-Jews all over the Roman Empire. He was either responsible for it or started it, or it was an expression of his ministry. He led innumerable people to faith in Christ, which means he had innumerable gospel conversations, and yet he asked for prayer. If he needs prayer, don't you think we need prayer? To have those gospel conversations. And we need, as the people of God, to persist in prayer for one another. A gospel conversation has four relationships in it. Four relationships. The first one is you. So be praying for you. Pray that God would put on your heart someone that you love and someone that God wants you to have that gospel conversation. Pray for yourself. Secondly, the person you're going to talk to. Make sure you're praying for them, that God would speak to them through you. The third is God himself, who is working in that conversation and in that prayer life, and your conversation in prayer with him is what God will use and empower to motivate you, to give you insight, to give you wisdom, and to open the heart of the person that you're praying for. The fourth partner in your gospel conversation is your church. It's the people of God who must be praying for one another. You must gather up and persist in prayer for those names that represent people that you are all praying for. The Reverend Billy Graham died last February. Most of you grew up, or many of you grew up, watching him on television, hearing his preaching. You're aware of who he is. His call from God was to reap the harvest. When someone shared Christ with someone, Billy Graham was gifted of God to bring that person to Christ, and often in mass, in stadiums and other public places, he would preach the gospel, and people would come to Christ. And if you ever watched those, you thought, wow, you know, God is really using him. He must be supremely confident. How would he ever need prayer? Not long after he died, his brother-in-law, Leighton Ford, participated in some interviews about Billy Graham, a series of interviews. And one of those interviews, they asked him, how did Billy Graham prepare for his preaching? And Leighton Ford said, the last 30 or 40 minutes before Billy Graham preached, every single time he preached, he insisted on being left alone so he could pray. And Leighton Ford said, I never knew Billy Graham not to be nervous before he prayed. But once he prayed, for 30 or 40 minutes, he wanted absolute seclusion so he could pray before he stepped onto that platform, before he opened up God's Word, before he preached God's Word, before he solicited people to come to Christ and called people to Christ. He prayed. And Leighton Ford said he persisted in prayer and he asked everyone there to always be praying for every person in attendance. If Billy Graham and the Apostle Paul need people to pray for them, how much more you and me? You can't have a gospel conversation without prayer. Pray for yourself, pray for that person. Church, be praying for one another. Your Sunday school teachers already know that you should be praying for your one in Sunday school, in Bible study. If you have other small group Bible studies, you should be praying for your one by first name, if possible. You need prayer support. Pray for one another. Pray for one another. Secondly, pray for the opportunity, Paul says. Pray specifically and intentionally for the opportunity. When Paul says to the people of God in Colossae, stay alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door to us for the word to speak the mystery of Christ. Paul is soliciting their prayer for an opportunity. And he teaches us something here. He teaches us to look for and pray for that opportunity. He teaches us expectation in anticipation. He teaches us the belief that if we are praying, we should expect God to respond. If we are praying, we should expect God to respond. So he gives us three attitudes that go along with that expectation. Three attitudes that go along with the expectation, praying for that opportunity. The first is to be alert. The term means to watch, wake up and watch. Be looking for God to work in the life of the person you're praying for. Be expectant, anticipate that conversation. What kind of conversation would that be? Well, maybe they ask a spiritual question. Maybe they open up about brokenness or hurt in their life. Maybe it's just over a cup of coffee, you start talking about church. But you look for God, you're alert because you're expecting God to open up that opportunity. The second attitude is be thankful. Paul says be thankful. Just about every time Paul talks about prayer, you know what he says? Be thankful. Be thankful in prayer. Why does that matter? Because if you're thankful, you're expectant. You anticipate God doing something. You're thanking God for what he's going to do. Start thanking God now for the conversation you're going to have. Start thanking God now in prayer that person you're praying for is going to trust Christ as their Savior. Start thanking God now for their salvation. And as you do that, you know what's going to happen? You're going to start thanking God for your salvation too. Because nothing motivates us more than remembering what God has done for us in Christ. Be alert, be thankful, then be specific. Be specific. Paul puts it this way. Stay alert with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door to us for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ. That's very specific. Here's what I want you to pray, church, Paul says. I want you to pray for us, me and my colleagues who are here in Rome and I'm in prison. I want you to pray for me to have a gospel conversation that God would open a door, I would recognize it, and I would walk through. And you say, well, Pastor Bob, you don't know the kind of people I deal with. You don't know the person that I'm praying for. You don't know what my family's like. You don't know how hard it is to open those conversations. Paul was in prison. So who was he praying to have a gospel conversation with? Who was he praying that door would be open? The jailers, the guards. He swung for the fence. He said, pray for me. And this is what Paul believed. And we need to pay attention to this because the Bible teaches this threaded throughout the Bible, but especially to believers in Christ. You are not where you are by accident. You are not in the relationships you're in by accident. God has put you there. And if God puts someone in front of you, there's someone on your heart, there's someone in your circle that needs Christ as their Savior, God has put you there for that purpose. Pray for them and pray specifically for the opportunity to reach out to them and share the gospel with them. So pray for one another, pray for the opportunity. Third, Paul reminds us always to pray for your walk. That is, your lifestyle. Look at verse 5 again. He says, act wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Act wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Now, to us in our 21st century sensibilities, the term outsider sounds negative, but this is what Paul meant. He wasn't being prejudiced. What he was saying was, those who are not in Christ, they're out of Christ. They're out of the church. They're not there yet. So you need to be acting wisely toward them. The phrase is literally, with wisdom be walking. With wisdom be walking. It's an ongoing lifestyle that you live before those who need Christ. And the bottom line is, our lifestyle needs to back up our words. If we trust Christ as our Savior, it should start changing our lives, and the people that you're going to share with should see that in your own life. They should see God changing you. And when you have that gospel conversation and you say to them, you know what, I understand what you're going through. Let me tell you what God did for me. I understand how you need to come out of that addiction. Let me tell you what God did for me. I understand how hurt you are in your family, what they've done for you. Let me tell you what God did for me. Your lifestyle backs it up. They believe you because they know you. Paul says, always be wise in that. Walk with wisdom. That means live a lifestyle that backs up your profession and your gospel conversation. in that lifestyle. And he says the reason for that is you're making the most of the time. We miss the time. We miss the opportunity to talk to people because we don't make the most of the time. Why do we not? Well, it goes back to the praying. We're not expecting anything to happen. We're not really expecting God to work. We pray hoping he will work, but we don't pray expecting and alert and thankful. So Paul does. So he says, when the time comes and that conversation opens up, with wisdom, make the most of it. God's put that right in front of you. Walk right through that door and watch God work through that conversation. Although you and I should live wisely, we should live as those who know Christ, and our lifestyle should back up our words, people still need us to talk to them. In the Bible, every single person that trusted Christ as their Savior was told how to do it. Even Jesus had gospel conversations. The man who lived the perfect life never took for granted people knew right away who he was or what to do about it, so he explained it to them. We're going to look at one of those in a couple of weeks. Walk and live a lifestyle that backs up your conversation, but understand you still need to have the conversation. So that's the fourth directive. The fourth directive is to pray for the words. Pray for the words. Pray for the opportunity. Pray for your lifestyle, your walk to back it up. And then pray for the words. Now Paul says, for himself, he asked them when they pray for him to pray that he may make it known, that is the mystery of the gospel, make it known as he should. What does he mean by that? He means by that, I want to be clear. When I talk about the gospel, I want to be sure I'm clear in what people need to understand and what people need to do. Paul asked for prayer for that. He asked for prayer for his actual words. And then he went on and he told the people of God that your words should always be gracious, as seasoned as with salt. So when that opportunity comes, you may know how you should answer each person. Very specifically, ask God to give you wisdom. Ask God to give you the words. Ask God to open the conversation, then help you know what to say. And I want you to notice, Paul doesn't expect perfection. He doesn't expect himself to be perfect. He just wants to be clear. And he's saying the same thing for you and me. When we talk to people about Christ, we need to be clear. Our words should be seasoned. They should be attractive. We should be gracious, not condemning. We should love people, and they should know that we love them. So when you're praying for that gospel conversation, pray that God would actually give you the words to carry that out, that God would actually tell you what to say and give you wisdom. You say, well, Pastor Bob, I never know what to say. Well, the beauty of that is God does. God knows exactly what to say. He's just wanting to know if you'll let him say it through you. You'll let him use you for that conversation. And Paul says that you may be able to answer each one, each person. Ah, there it is. There it is. There's the reason that we almost never take seriously gospel conversations. There's the reason that we tend to want to steer clear and we tell people we love Jesus and would you like to talk to my pastor? Because we're afraid we won't be able to answer questions or answer objections. Right? I got news for you. God is so good, he'll still use you. We're not to be after perfection, just clarity. And trust me, it is okay to say to someone these three wonderful words, I don't know. And then follow it up with, but that's a great question. I'll find out and call you this week. And we'll talk some more. Pray for wisdom. And God will give it to you. He's not after perfection. He just wants you to be available and to be willing. It all starts with prayer. Pray for yourself. Pray for the person God's put on your heart. And expect God to open that door. It's astounding what happens inside of us when we start praying for that person that God puts on our heart. On my card in my Bible, I have the names of two. Who's your one? I got two. Now, I have others as well. But for this time in which we're praying and talking, I picked out two men, particularly who I know are as far from Christ as I can even imagine. But they're both in my circle. I know them, I interact with them, but they are as far from Christ as anybody could be. And I've started praying for them. Okay, this week, I bumped into one of them, as I do regularly. Eventually, it'll become a little more intentional, but this time I bumped into him. Interesting thing happened. Now, he's one of those personalities that God bless him, I love him, but, you know, small doses. Okay? And that's how, in the time I've known him, which has been years, that's kind of how I've interacted with him. He knows who I am. He knows what I do. I've talked to him about some of those things, but I'm also sort of like, okay, well, you know, God bless you. I love you. I'll forget. But this week when I saw him, and I have to tell you, I know, it's because I had intentionally been praying for him and that I would have a gospel conversation with him. He didn't change a bit, but my attitude did. And I saw him the way God sees him, and I engaged him with joy. I was excited for the opportunity to talk with him and to see where it would go. And you know what? Suddenly I saw that I hadn't really been seeing is that he is broken. He is hurting. And he just wants to talk. God uses prayer first to shape you. And you know what he does? He lets you, he crafts you and shapes you to start seeing that person the way he sees that person. Pray. Effective prayer always comes before a gospel conversation. And every effective gospel conversation begins with prayer. Did you see the Preakness yesterday? Maybe not. That's okay. I'm going to tell you about it. Off with it to a great start. All the horses are in the gates. These beautiful thoroughbreds are ready to run at the Preakness. The bell goes off. The gates open. And a horse named Bodie Express was a little too enthusiastic and threw his rider at the gate. Jockey comes tumbling down. He was okay, just a little bit embarrassed and certainly extremely disappointed. And off the field of horses go as they're running the track of the Preakness. And what did Bodie Express do? Did he stop and go to the infield to eat grass? Did he go check on his rider, the jockey, to see how he was doing? No. He ran, having the time of his life. You could see it in his little eyes going, best day ever. He is running with the herd because, you know, that's what they do. Now, there wasn't any particular passion behind it. He was on the outside wide and just galloping along, kind of keeping up with the back of the herd, but just kept running and kept running and kept up and going at kind of a leisurely pace while the rest of the field was pointed and direct and motivated and running to win the race. And Bodie Express is just galloping along. And when the race was over, he kept galloping around, just having the time, no idea why, but having the time of his life. What was the difference between the rest of the field and Bodie Express? Before you answer, it was not the rider. It was what the rider gives to the horse. The rider gives motivation, purpose, direction. The rider instills confidence in the horse. The rider is the difference between the lack of passion and passivity and intention, endurance, and motivation. Bodie Express, a believer that would kind of like to share the gospel with somebody. Maybe it sounds like a good idea. I'll go along with the herd, but I don't have time to pray for anybody. Everybody else, prayed up, powerful, motivated, goal-oriented, and above all, intentional. We know where we're going, and God's going to get us there. See the difference? Because that's what prayer gives. It connects you with the heart of God to pray for your one So start now. If you're not already, start now. First ask God, who is my one? Write it down. Then start praying for them. Get with God and say, God, this is what you want. You want them to know Christ. They're far from you, and you want them to know Christ. Start praying for them now. If you would, bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. I want to offer you an opportunity to respond in just a moment. And as I do, first of all, I want to ask you this morning. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Do you know without question you've received Jesus as your personal Savior? Maybe someone had that gospel conversation with you. Maybe it was in vacation Bible school, Sunday school, or in church, but you know you've trusted Christ as your Savior. If you are not sure that you've trusted Christ, if you're sitting here this morning and you realize, I've never taken that step of faith to trust Jesus, I want to invite you in a moment to come to Christ. I'm going to be here at the front, and I want to invite you when the music starts to step out, to come down here and say, Pastor Bob, I want to trust Christ as my Savior today. And maybe you're a believer in this room. And as a believer, you have never had a gospel conversation with anyone. But God has put that on your heart. It's time to do that. It's time to step up. And it's time to trust Him and expect Him to do something in your life today. While we are singing, I want to ask you to commit to that. You can do it at the altar. You can do it right where you are. And maybe there are other decisions you need to make today, and I'll be waiting here at the front to receive you to join fellowship with First Baptist Church. Maybe it's your time to follow through in believers' baptism coming up in a few weeks. Whatever God puts on your heart, I want to challenge you this morning to do just that. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts, our minds. God, you know right where we are in our relationship with you. And Father, you know every one of us, and you know if we've ever really prayed for someone to know Christ, if we've ever really asked you to give us a gospel conversation, God, penetrate our hearts today with your heart, with what you desire, with what you want. God, show us that today. And Father, how I pray, God, that every believer, member, regular, attender, whoever we are, but every person in this room, God, you'd put somebody on our heart, and you would show us, Father, our relationship with them. You would show us, God, what's going on in their lives. You would show us, Father, that you want us to be the one to have that conversation. Father, maybe we just plant a seed, or maybe we reap the harvest. Maybe it's somewhere in between, God, but you put them on our hearts. So, God, if you put them on our hearts, Father, we'll start today praying for them. I pray, Father, for us as believers in Christ, God, you would forgive us for our lack of intention. You would forgive us, God, for our complacency. You would forgive us, God, for just running along with no purpose, no goals. And especially, you would forgive us, God, for not being obedient to you. So, God, change that for us today. I pray for those who need Christ as their Savior, that today they'd be saved. I pray, Father, for those who need to make fresh decisions for Christ, rededications. I pray for those who need to join fellowship with First Baptist Church, for those who need to be baptized, for those of us who need to take that next step of faith, God. I pray for us today. So God, be with us in this time of response, and I pray the Holy Spirit would move in our midst, that He would speak to us, change us, guide us, show us, God, what we need to confess and what we need to do. And we'll do it to honor Christ, for it's in His name we pray. Amen.